For a limited time at McDonald's, get a Big Mac Extra Value Meal for $8. That means two all-beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun, and medium fries, and a drink. We may need to change that jingle.
Prices and participation may vary.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of The Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show. This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Bogarts takes. Oh, it was low and he got rung up.
That will definitely be a hat tapper next year.
From The Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
The 49ers storm the field.
Earlier on the show, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero. Coming up, Jaguars running back Travis Etienne Jr. Actor and comedian Jeremy Piven. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two, The Rich Eisen Show is on the air. We're live on the Disney Plus streaming service. We're live on the ESPN app everywhere, live on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Pleased to have you here at 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Travis Etienne is going to join us. What's more likely is coming up here on this Friday. My top five other games that I'm looking forward to seeing. Jeremy Piven in studio. Lots of fun still to come, especially when we're talking baseball. Now, the crazy part about all of this is how quickly things can start and end in the wild card round with just three games. The Guardians have an incredible September to remember. And now it's over. Just three games in. They got the opportunity to have a postseason, A, and then B, to have all three games in Cleveland. But here comes a Tigers team that says, okay, we fell apart, but guess what? We got a lottery ticket. And we're cashing it in. And the Tigers move on to take on the Seattle Mariners next. Which means either the Mariners or the Tigers are going to be playing for the right to represent the American League in the World Series. And then you've got the Cubs. And the Padres having at it. And the Padres go into Chicago and even the series to force a third game. And now the Padres are home, and one thing we're definitely going to hear about was the full-on, almost pushing and shoving that went down in the dugout when, because again, this is an old school, I guess, old stadium. The umpires use the visitor's dugout to exit the stadium, and the Padres let the umpires know all about the missed call in the ninth inning on Xander Bogaerts, who could have walked to bring the tying run to the plate. Instead, a clear ball that next year with the ABS, the system that will challenge umpires' balls and strikes calls, if the Padres had one of those in their pocket, that would have been ball four. Mm-hmm. And they went nuts. My two cents again on that subject matter is play better than the ump. I mean, there were probably tons of times that they could have had opportunities, but when it comes down to that ninth inning, man, just don't put yourself in the hands of an umpire to blow a call, and that umpire blew the call, to say the least. But fittingly, Pete Crow Armstrong squeezes the final out for the Cubs. He had a phenomenal season, and now the Cubs move on. The Cubs are moving on, and they're taking on the Brewers. Oh, boy. That's a great rivalry. Nice regional rivalry for the right to represent the National League against either the Dodgers or the Phillies. That's going to be a great series as well. And then you have game three between the Red Sox and the Yankees last night. Brockman's team and my team. Very proud of us, Chris. You and I have, I think, been on the up and up with one another.
Yeah.
And right now, this is what things can be crazy. In the world of baseball, there are probably some Yankee fans trying to get arrested in Needham, Massachusetts right now. Because the police chief there is the father of Cam Schlittler. And they want an autograph And they want to make sure that they can get something from Cam Schlittler. This kid who came up in the middle of the season and started firing fastballs and started showing a little bit of glimpses of awesomeness and then became even more awesome. But towards the end of the month, I was watching wondering, would he be trusted to start a playoff game? They handed him a lead a couple of times, large lead. He couldn't even get out of the fifth inning. But he's got electric stuff. And there are times, I swear to you, as I'm watching these games with Coop at home, where like, he looks like Gerrit Cole.
I thought the same thing.
He looks like Gerrit Cole.
I thought the same thing in the first inning.
I mean, facially,
yep. I see
his style of pitching, his body language, all of it.
Totally.
And I'm like, if he could be Gerrit Cole, heaven forbid, in October... And then last night, the battle of the kids, Schlittler's the one who dropped his Huggies and became a grown-ass man against Connolly Early, who is making just a career start in five.
Fifth career start.
And here's the ball, kid. Go win a game in Yankee Stadium with a bullpen that was kind of gassed to get to game three. And to try to wrap things up to avoid a game three by Alex Cora in game two. And that kid was really good, too.
Yep.
He just had one inning. Stuff, yep. He had one inning where left the ball over the plate. The Yankees took advantage. A couple of plays out behind him weren't made. Yada, yada, yada. It's a four-run lead. And Schlittler was just, like, not blowing that one.
Yeah, lights out.
And a good old-fashioned eight-inning performance. And, listen, I was confident in the kid. I was believing in the kid, and I could never in a million years have thought, okay, what we're going to get as Yankee fans out of Cam Schlittler is the first ever playoff performance by a pitcher with eight innings, 12 or more strikeouts, and no walks. I can't believe he's the first to ever do it. Not that he did it. Obviously, that is kind of wild that he just did it.
Well, it had never been done before?
Yeah. I was sitting there like, Jack Morris never did that.
Yeah.
Nobody else has ever done, like, name me, like, Gibson, name me another, like, nobody's ever had eight shutout with 12 walks.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, 12 strikeouts and no walks.
No walks.
He's the first to do it. And he does it in that instance to close out the Red Sox to move the Yankees on to Toronto in the American League Divisional Series. Stuff that, I mean, he's, hey, Cam, you got to spot an old timer's day for the rest of your life. You know, no matter what you do from here on out, and what he's done is pitch the Yankees into the next round with a performance that was electric. Electric. That's the word Alex Cora used after the game. And this is what Schlittler had to say after the performance of his life and the spot of his life, making the lives of all Yankee fans much better.
I got really good sleep last night. I wasn't, you know, too worried about it. But, you know, I woke up and I was locked in. So I knew exactly what I needed to do and go out there, especially against my hometown team. So as I told Andy yesterday, I wasn't going to let him beat me. So I was just overconfident in that fact. But, you know, making sure I wasn't getting too carried away with it.
Andy is Andy Pettit, who he was apparently conversing with. You knew the Yankees were doing their best to mean business. I don't know how that would spook any of the Red Sox to throw Bucky Dent out there for the ceremonial first pitch, but they did.
It was the anniversary of the home run.
Yeah.
It was Bucky Dent.
I remember that anniversary because, it was my dad's birthday. May he rest in peace on that day. And it was also the first day my parents ever let me out of Hebrew school to watch a baseball game. I begged them. Absolutely begged them. That's an eight-year-old.
It worked.
It did. And I also became a man in the eyes of the Lord who years later would work on Yom Kippur by interviewing Charlie Sheen. I'm going to hell.
Mazel tov.
At any rate, thank you for that.
Yeah, I mean, you became a man at eight. I thought it was 13.
Dude, eventually I became a man. Like a Mike Gundy, I'm 40, man. Dude.
Eventually.
Grown-ass man. I was gobsmacked. Couldn't believe he's going in. And that Boone would keep letting him pitch, too. Let him keep going.
Well, the binder told him to keep him in the game.
Nice. But at any rate, I'm ecstatic. Over the moon. Season's still going on. And they got it. I mean, the Blue Jays had the Yankees number. So it's going to be either the Blue Jays and Yankees against either the Tigers and the Mariners. And it's either the Dodgers or Phillies against either the Cubs or the Brewers. And congratulations to Major League Baseball. I mean, just an outstanding series between two blood rivals in the Yankees and the Red Sox. Now you got a series between two blood rivals in the Cubs and the Brewers.
And Dodgers, Phillies.
And you've got the New York, Los Angeles, yeah. Chicago, Philadelphia markets covered. The Pacific Northwest is locked in a way that, you know, they're all Cal Raleigh crazy. Yeah. The Tigers, the old English D, they got the state of Michigan, and you got a little Toronto, Canada in the mix.
This has a weird, like, 2023 feel, where it was Rangers and Diamondbacks. It feels like we could get kind of a wonky World Series, whereas last year was, you know, blue blood, Dodger, Yankees.
I do want to give you the floor for a minute. And again, the Red Sox traded Devers and got better.
Yeah.
They didn't have Roman Anthony in this series.
Right, and that was, you know, you wonder what difference that would have made. You know, he took over the kind of the lead hitter role. Bregman kind of had back from injury, which just wasn't the same player the second half of the season.
Last night he used the past tense saying, you know, it was an honor to wear this uniform. He can opt out.
Yeah, it feels like he's not coming back. It's kind of been the vibe since the break. So
the Yankees should be all over him. Just turn yourself into the Dodgers. Call him up and say, you want all the money when you're 50, like Otani, please?
Yeah.
I don't know. But I love your manager.
Yeah.
Like every button love, the guy
love the manager,
pushes.
Love all the young guys. It was a season where you feel like maybe they kind of overachieved after, you know, trading Devers, which, you know, I'm arguing with your brother-in-law on Twitter about it. He didn't need to go. He needed to go. The clubhouse situation was untenable, and you could see how they all were kind of...
They got better without him.
They were kind of one...
Immeasurably
they were
better.
One unit where it didn't seem like it was a little more fractured when he was there, but...
Immeasurably better without him.
You know, the pitching, I think, helped in the second half of the year. They had one of the highest ERAs, you know, after the All-Star break, so you kind of get that locked up and, you know, go out in free agency, kind of get some more starters. Lucas Giolito was injured, not on the roster. Walker Buehler didn't work out. Some of those things, you know, you got a rookie making his fifth start in a playoff game. Not the ideal situation, even though, you know, early was good. But you know, if Anthony was healthy, maybe you win this series, but didn't think you were going to make it this far to begin with. So, you know, back in the playoffs playing, you know, nervous, tense, stressful October baseball is fun. And, you know, let's do it again next year.
Yeah. Next year in Boston. Oh, boy. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. It's a Friday, so let's do it. What's more likely before Travis Etienne joins us? Hit it.
What?
What's more likely?
Never say never, but never.
All right, Christopher.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Jay Felly, good to see you, man.
What's up? Yeah.
We watched a couple of NFC West teams go at it last night, so let's throw this out there. More likely NFC West team to miss the playoffs. 49ers, Rams, Seahawks. They're not all going to make it. It doesn't feel like.
Well, I mean, I think they could all make it. As a matter of fact.
But it doesn't feel like
I know you want blood on the floor right now.
Kind of.
You want to drink my milkshake right now.
I drink it up.
You want blood. Jeez. You know, obviously the Niners are the ones that are dealing with their backup quarterback, but he's 3-0. The Niners are the ones that are injured, but they're coming back. The Niners are the ones that, you know, you would think would potentially fall apart because everyone is physically falling apart there, but they've already won at the Rams and at Seattle. Man, I don't know. I'll just throw Seattle out there for the moment. You know, I'm just not going to quit the Rams. I think they're just too damn good at some point. But they keep making mistakes. They let field goals get blocked.
Yeah.
And they have two massive fumbles. One on the plus side of the field and one inside the one by their two running backs.
Yeah, and a rare coaching blunder by McVay on that fourth down call.
Okay. What else, Chris?
More likely backup quarterback that's going to get a win on Sunday. We got two new guys going out there. Dylan Gabriel or Cooper Rush?
I'll take Cooper Rush. One's at home. The other one is.
You think starting in London across. Might be a good thing?
I don't know. I have no earthly idea. I have no idea what to expect.
Yeah, me neither.
All I know is that Cooper Rush has done it before, and the Ravens still have a bunch of talented people despite the MASH unit on defense. So You know, I'll just take Cooper Rush at home as opposed to Dylan Gabriel's first career start, and it happens in London against the Vikings defense that blitzed 5 minutes ago. Is the joke I keep making, and I think it's still very good.
It's good. I laugh every time.
All right, thank you.
More likely, 2-2 road team to hand someone their first loss. Broncos, Patriots.
I'm going to back up my higher register. I'm going to go Broncos on this one. Yeah, I kind of think it's the Broncos.
Yeah, the Eagles seem like they're ripe for the taking.
I think the Eagles are ripe for the taking. And I also think that if there's anybody that's equipped to just not GAF and go into Philadelphia and pull out stops.
For number 10.
And also have the corners that can keep this pass game down and thus a lot of the murmuring louder. It's Denver. I'll go with the Broncos on this one.
I think both games are going to be very fun and entertaining.
Thank you, sir.
More likely team we're talking about sniffing it on Monday. Raiders or Dolphins?
Meaning they have a chance to win?
No, meaning, you know, if they win, we're going to be like, you know what? I think the Raiders are sniffing it. They're in the playoff.
Yeah, in the playoff hunt.
Playing the playoff hunt. Raiders or Dolphins?
Raiders are at Indianapolis. Dolphins are... You know what? My higher register was initially going to be, the Dolphins might be still okay without Tyreek Hill.
Darren Waller, pretty good.
I'm just going to go Raiders. Although, let's get Brock Bowers out there practicing, will we please? We please get that?
The knee injury is a little concerning.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on there.
A little concerning there.
I'll go Raiders on you right. On that one. What else, Chris?
A fun game in Seattle on Sunday. More likely class of 18 quarterback to throw for 250 plus and two touchdowns, Baker or Sam Darnold?
I'm going to go with Sam Darnold at home on this one.
No Mike Evans on Sunday as
well. I'm aware of that. The Bucks beat up. No Bucky Irving.
Former Panthers quarterbacks as well.
I know that. Remembering the good old days.
The good old days. What?
yeah, and Seattle has gotten more. They're coming off of a 10-day break. And they're home at the 12s. I'll go Sam Darnold.
Yeah, that was my higher register.
Okay.
Maybe Seattle's an NFC contender.
I know. And even though I just said that they're the ones. I think three teams are going to come out of the West. One out of the South.
One South then. Okay.
Right. Maybe even one out of the East. Yeah. I'm concerned about the Commanders, man.
I am too.
What else?
We'll get to them in a second.
Okay.
More likely to get their first win on Sunday in Week 5. Saints or Titans?
I'll go Titans on the road in Arizona against a quarterback who's wondering if he's still going to be there for the new facility opening 2 years from now.
What a weird thing to say.
I know.
Like Kyler Murray.
I know. And the Saints, I know, are at home, but I just don't see it, man.
Really?
I guess. I don't know. The Giants appear revitalized.
They hung in there against the Bills last week.
I know.
You know, Rattler, Kendry Miller is coming on. Hey. Obviously, come here.
How long can the Titans be ass?
The ass.
I'm only quoting the coach. I mean the quarterback. The quarterback, right?
Yeah, I mean
they're over. I have it written down right here. If we keep it a buck right now, we ass.
And again, for those who didn't hear yesterday, the explanation.
That's how he said it.
He's saying that if he's going to be completely and brutally honest with
sure,
you, the team is playing far below its expectations.
Thank you, TJ. Thank you for that. We need a segment. TJ explains things. Watch that. More likely, let's talk about the game out here in SoFi on Sunday. More likely superstar quarterback to return to form in a win. Jaden Daniels gets back to last year form, or Herbert, weeks 1 and 2.
I'll go Herbert, man.
Herbert's
Jaden
been
Daniels has got,
semi-ass the Jaden last 2 weeks.
Daniels does not have McLaurin and Noah Brown and a running game that we're still wondering where it's coming from.
Bill Kraske.
And he's got a brace on his knee. I'm concerned about this one. Now, they could be, SoFi could be the home of the visiting team that walks into the building banged up and shocks right. Everyone else.
With a majority of their fans there.
That's, well. I'll just go Herbert. And move on.
All right. How about this one? More likely to be the higher total this weekend. Ohtani strikeouts Saturday. Against he's getting the game one start.
Okay.
Or Ja'Marr Chase catches. Because there haven't been
Ja'Marr Chase catches.
A few of those. There hasn't been that many.
I'm going to give Ohtani 6 strikeouts. And I'm going to give Ja'Marr Chase 10 catches. They're going
to
force
10
it.
10 catches.
Yeah, they're going to force it to him, and he's going to. And
yeah,
my guy, Jake Browning's going to have a day.
Six correct.
This Who is a hell of it. You were willing
the
to
team
perish
that I
upon.
Going in the National Football League NFC Championship game and beyond. That one? That one? The Lions?
Don't you put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby.
You're willing to perish upon this Jake Browning.
It's going
to
turn at some point. This broken clock's going to be right, brother.
Not necessarily.
That was my other higher register that I discarded.
I appreciate your conviction.
I kind of think they're going to turn the corner with Jake Browning.
I appreciate you standing and owning
this. That's good.
Though.
That's good.
I'm owning
one
it.
More. I did not know this.
That's my boy.
Oh, my gosh. I can't believe there's one more. More likely to be an overreaction Monday topic by me next week.
Oh, you can control this.
Well, that's how you know you take the over, I guess.
Okay.
49ers have a QB controversy. Or Zach Taylor's on the hot seat.
Zach Taylor's on the hot seat because you already used that topic in the first segment today.
I mean, you did.
Yeah. I didn't go all out.
Yes, you did.
I didn't go all out.
You just get out of here, man.
Don't you wish wish he had that $180 million
Zach
back?
Taylor on the hot seat. I mean, as much as I'm having fun with Jake Browning and Ja'Marr Chase is going to have more catches than Ohtani has strikeouts against the Philadelphia Phillies Game 1 Division Series start. It's more likely than not that the Bengals will have lost their third in a row, and we're talking about is what's happening in Cincinnati. I don't know if it's going to be a full-on Zach Taylor hot seat. I would call that an overreaction, but you've already done the topic of the 49ers quarterback controversy. Mac Jones, the Harvey Dent of the San Francisco 49ers.
Talk about a sliding door, the NFL. Shout out Dave Damachek. Like, what if they had just taken Mac Jones third? Like, what if Kyle Shanahan didn't get reportedly overruled by management?
I don't know, brother.
Super Bowl? They probably win one, right?
If that happened, then Shanahan has a moment within management saying, when we're on the clock, will you listen to me, please?
Yeah.
Not as if they don't, but... Good. What's more likely, everybody? Well, I got one last one for you. What's more likely? Well, you know, or actually, we'll do that in the next. You know, no. Okay. We'll do that in the next TV segment, unless, maybe before Travis Etienne.
Okay.
Yeah, I got one for you.
Oh, super!
844-204.
Sure, awesome.
No, you're not going to like it.
Yeah, I imagine.
Well, I'll put you in a position for a change. 844-204. Rich number to dial. Travis Etienne of the Jaguars about to join us.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.
Back on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204. Rich is the number to dial here on the program. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Keep your career moving forward with growth opportunities, great pay and benefits, and one of the country's top workplaces. Go to careers.progressive.com and apply today. I've got one more. What's more likely? For you.
We need one more?
Sure.
All right, we'll get one more.
We'll get one more. What was more likely? That I would come and show up today and give Brockman time to talk about the Red Sox season being better than anybody gave an opportunity for them. Certainly those of us in here and giving them their due, or me coming in and just being a total a-hole about it because my Yankees moved past the Red Sox and your Mets. We spent here March, April, May, talking about how I'd be looking up and seeing other teams.
Well, you were.
Oh.
For a little bit.
Okay. But at the end of the day, what would you think would be much more likely?
Chris? Can we just play the Bill Burr clip where it's like, oh, this is about you?
Oh, yes, it is about me.
And you can be an a-hole right, about it without
the undertones are there.
Yeah, you're right? Subtly being an a-hole.
The tone is there.
I mean, very respectable neighborhood.
Thank you. Let's just get this out of the way here. Is Al in Dallas on the call? Because we got to just pop him on real quick before we get to Travis Etienne. You there, Al? You there, Al?
Yeah, I mean, I want to do a Frank the Tank kind of rant, but I won't because I don't have a lot of time. But I hope David Stearns and Stevie Cohen were watching the playoffs because it's about starting pitching, Richard.
Yes, sir.
That's what it's about in baseball. It's absurd how good some of the starting pitching was during the playoffs, and it was great to see. And congratulations, by the way.
Thank you. The new
king of New York.
I hope so.
That pitcher was fantastic.
I hope so. I hope the future is Cole comes back and we got a mini Cole, who's not so mini. He's 6 foot six.
He's a giant.
Or you got a Cole 2.0, and you got two lefties in Fried and Rodon, and you throw a heel in there, and off we go. Like, that's that's it.
We got Clay Holmes, your reject. We got nothing. We got zero. Garbage.
Well, apparently you got a new you got a new coaching staff. They just blew everyone out today, other than the manager. Yeah.
What's the point of that? Just get rid of the manager,
he
too.
Went too, by the way.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Okay.
There's something else I want to say. Will you please, Christopher Brockman, take Jameis Winston's name out your mouth? I don't want him traded. Russell Wilson to the Bengals. See ya.
You won't have. There you
get
go.
Get out of here.
Al? Al in Dallas, everybody.
See, Al.
You got another month to go. By the way, I don't think you're speaking anything into existence.
No, I mean,
Let's turn to this next guy who's back on the Rich Eisen show after his Jaguars took care of the Niners just last week. They got the Chiefs on Monday Night Football. We had Xavier Worthy on yesterday. We just want to be fair and balanced.
TMG.
Here we go. One of your guys. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, Travis Etienne Jr. back on the Rich Eisen show. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm good. What do you mean he's your guy, TJ? What do you mean?
Oh, well, you know, Travis knows this. We have this saying in my league, TMG. That's my guy. Whenever you see someone that you have on your fantasy team. Travis Etienne right now has me in first place in my fantasy league.
Which fantasy league is that, TJ?
That would be the Franklin Strip Fanatics.
Okay. And I thought you have him against me this week as well.
That is. I have him in multiple leagues because I'm doing well in multiple leagues because of this man.
Travis, don't let this affect you. Okay. Don't let this.
No, I'm not. We will continue to do good for him.
Okay.
That's my guy, right? That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, listen, don't let that go to your head. I know that sort of stuff can go to your head.
No, not at all.
Okay. You must be hearing that a lot lately, that's for sure.
I actually been on the other side of the fantasy league, too.
So I'm saying you're hearing the good stuff right now. You're hearing the good stuff.
Yeah, the good things right now.
Okay, so let's hit it. How has Liam Cohen's offense and what he's brought to that side of the equation suited you so far?
It's been great. I feel like he's been doing a great job of putting me in space and just getting me out there on the edge, being able to let my talents work for me.
And when he first arrived, was that apparent to you that this was going to be happening for you when he first got there?
Yes, sir. Just understanding, just when I went watch the Bucks, some of the things they did from last year, just kind of knew that he was kind of a guru in the run game, know he's going to just go out there and just get people on blocks, so I was able to go out there and just be myself.
So it wasn't him basically verbalizing it, expressing it, like, hey, you're going to love what I'm going to do for you, something like that.
No. He didn't verbally express it, but I mean, I seen it. I seen it with my own eyes, so I kind of knew what was going to happen as long as I put the work in.
Well, this is a man that says things with his chest, kind of saw that this past weekend. What is he like as a coach that you're willing to share, Travis?
I mean, he's a great coach. I feel like he's a fiery guy. He like you said, he says with his chest, so you know what he means. And I feel like anytime you have a guy who's for it and you know what they mean and he mean what he says, you just love a guy like that because it's no cutting around the edges, no cutting the corner, and you could just play behind a guy like that.
Well, I mean, since 2018, there's only two players to average 6 yards a carry on 60 or more carries in his team's first four games of a season. And those running backs are named Derrick Henry and you. Are you aware of that statistic, Travis?
I had no idea.
Okay.
I had no idea.
So it's obvious that he sees something in you, or the coordinators, the coaches see something. Okay, this is what we can do when we get to Jacksonville with Travis. And I'm wondering if you're kind of feeling that right now, Travis.
I'm feeling that right now, but I feel like I just want to continue to just be locked in, be present in the moment. That so whenever at the end of the season, I can finish with 6 yards a carry, 5 yards a carry, something like that. But coach definitely has a plan, and I feel like it's definitely been manifesting itself throughout the game.
Okay, and how are things different there, just in general, from last year to this year?
Just the energy. Just the energy around the building, the vibes. I feel like coach really preaches a growth mindset. So I feel like every time we step in this building, we're trying to get better. And I feel like that's something we've really been missing these past years.
Well, I guess the running game, thanks to you and everybody else in the running back room and the offensive line and the system and everything, is seems to be executing on cylinders here. The passing game is a little bit behind. And I'm wondering where you think this progression is right now as you enter a pretty big week 5 Monday nighter against the Chiefs. Travis?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like our passing game is just one click away. I feel like I've seen what Trev can do. I've seen what those guys can do. And I feel like it's going to take a couple of plays for them just to get going. And once you have two, three big plays, then no one's talking about, oh, how the passing game is. So I feel like it's kind of – we just kind of stick to it. And, I mean, I love that Lim kind of just – he is who he is, so I love that he's not going to shy away from it, and we're going to get things going.
Well, I don't want to stir anything up, but it looks like there's somebody else who wants to be the quarterback's favorite. Travis, is he muscling in on this right now? Like what's going on, Travis?
No, we love Trav. We love Trav. I feel like Travis' best days are ahead of him, and I feel like I just love the energy that he plays with and just the energy he brings onto the team, and I feel like I don't mind sharing a name with him.
Okay, or the attention of a guy you've known for, like, when did you first meet Trevor Lawrence? You must have known him.
I met him my freshman year of college.
I'm sure.
I've been knowing Trev for a very long time. So, I mean, Trev, Hunter could have his time, you know. I feel like me and Trev been knowing each other for so long. So, we good.
I just don't want any other Travis muscling in on his Travis territory. I don't mean to stir anything up. But you mentioned Hunter's enthusiasm. You got a good example for me?
I mean, just enthusiasm to play the game. I mean, just early in the game, I want to say maybe it was the second or third play. We just running a duo, and he goes in there and just kind of dig out a guy to get me for like 12 yards. And I feel like just that, just him being very unselfish, just whenever he's not getting the ball, and then him being able to play defense, feel like that just shows his enthusiasm. He just loves the game of football and happy to be out there anytime he can.
What do you say, again, it's just four games here, okay? But what do you say to those in my profession who think he should just choose one side of the ball and be done with this business of playing two different positions on two different sides of the ball, Travis Etienne Jr.? What do you say to that, sir?
I mean, ultimately, I feel like it's his decision, and I feel like he kind of – He thinks he'll be doing himself a disservice if you choose one side of the ball, because he's a very great athlete. He's been doing it well at a high level. And I feel like it's the NFL. It is going to be an adjustment. It's going to be a learning curve. But I feel like if he sticks to it and he's continued to be himself, I feel like everyone will be like talking about, oh, how great he is, and oh, how they want more players to try and do this. So I feel like he's just the first of his kind. So that's why everyone's just kind of just – heckling at him.
Can you allow me to give my answer to that question, even though I asked you that?
Yeah, for sure.
to heck with everybody who thinks he should just play one side of the ball. No way. No way.
I feel like he's way too
great. Superpower. That's like telling Superman not to fly. You know what I mean? Like, that's his superpower, isn't it?
No, I agree. I agree. The way he attacks the ball, we need him on the field every play.
You know, and certainly, you know, if he can defend a lead that, say, you or he together give the team, and he could preserve it, and he's that good, and he can do it, why would we think about doing anything else? You know what I mean? Like, that's the way I look at it for you.
No, I agree. I feel like common sense is not so common.
Certainly, since if he does have the neck-up ability to pull this thing off, I can't imagine, right? Could you imagine going into another position group room on the other side of the ball and taking those meetings as well? Like, that is a significant task that he appears to be pulling off here. Don't you think?
No, that's definitely a significant task, but I feel like it's a testament to just the work that he put in outside of the building, because there's no way he can just learn all of that from his time just being in the building. They have to take work home and just be dedicated to his craft.
And now your defense also, they are balling out. They are taking the ball away and handing it to you and saying, here's a short field, or here are some more points. And I'm wondering what that means to you. How does that charge your team, your offense right now?
I mean, I feel like our defense is the reason we win the games these past two games, just them getting the ball for just them creating turnovers. The turnover margin is very critical in this league. And if they continue to take the ball away at a high level, we're going to be a very unstoppable team. And we got to continue playing more complimentary football and just helping them and get points off of their turnovers.
You being overlooked, what do you think?
I mean, we're not really worried about that right now. You know, like you say, We're only 3-1. It's only a few games into the season. We got to continue to stack great games and continue to just get better each and every game, and then we'll look at the end of the season.
Oh, man, that's a very safe answer. I'm not going to lie to you right there. Come on, now, Travis. Here we go. Like, you got a Monday nighter, and then in 2 weeks, I'm calling the game in London. Those are two games that the entire country is just watching Jacksonville Jaguar football. You could put in front of the football-loving nation a lot of important work that can put a stamp on things. And I understand you're not raising banners after week 8, but these are some standalone games in which you can stand out. I'm just pointing that out. That's I think, significant, you know?
Oh, no. It's definitely significant games, and we definitely understand the magnitude of the games. So that's why we got to go out there and take care of business, you know? We don't, then it's going to be a very different conversation we'll be having in 2 weeks. So we just got to stay locked in, focused, and understand that we got to take care of business. Nothing's going to be given to us.
Yeah, I know. Your next three are home games. Technically, that game in London is a home game. It is in Shad Khan's building there in London against the Rams, with a Seattle Seahawks game in between in your spot. How crazy is it going to be Monday night, do you think, in that building?
I think it's going to be crazy. I feel like we need the atmosphere from the Chargers game that we had here back in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
If we get that kind of atmosphere, it's going to be hard for the Chiefs to come in here. And we just got to lock down the bank, you know. We need all our fans to come out, just show that Jacksonville is changing. I feel like it's on us fans as well to come out here and support us, and we'll go out there and take care of them.
And playing in London, that's like a regular thing now for you guys,
yeah,
right?
Now, playing in London, I feel like I look forward to that every year. Just having a chance to go out there overseas and play football, I feel like that's a dream come true every time I'm out there. Because, I mean, I would never thought as a kid I'd be playing football in London.
I know, right? And it is great. The atmospheres are amazing. I'm there. I was there last year. I'm fortunate enough to call a lot of these games on NFL Network. And I tell everybody back here that you got to go if you have the opportunity, the wherewithal, the time, the funds, to go overseas and watch one of these games. It really is like, and again, you talked about a playoff atmosphere. It really is that every time. Every time.
Every time. I mean, it gets so loud in there. I'm like, I mean, we played the Bills there, and it was so loud. I really couldn't even hear what Trevor was saying. Thank God we were using signals.
It is kind of crazy. It really is wild. You know, it's almost as wild as Liam Cohen and Robert Saleh talking to each other. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, not almost, not as wild as that.
All right, now in all seriousness, what are you guys in the locker room saying when you watch that back? Seriously, when you watch that back?
No, we didn't really say nothing. But I mean, you kind of love that fireness from your coach, you know. He not letting anything slide, you know. Coach want all the smoke, and we right behind him.
Okay. Travis Etienne, great job so far in the first 4 weeks. We'll see you on Monday night on ESPN and ABC and all that good stuff. And then I'll see you in London. I look forward to seeing you in person, sir.
Look forward to seeing you.
You got it. That's Travis Etienne of the Jacksonville Jaguars right here on the Rich Eisen Show. All right, there he goes, Travis Etienne Jr., your guy. TMG. One of your guys, TMG, very good. We'll take a break and we'll take your phone calls. Jeremy Piven in studio in hour number 3. My top 5 games the rest of the week still to come. Don't go anywhere on this busy Friday.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
The all-new Hyundai Palisade Hybrid, an incredible SUV, I'll tell you. There's a spacious interior that's comfy for the entire crew. There's a capability to go off-road. It's this is amazing. You can get up to 600-plus miles of range. I've never heard of that sort of number coming out of a hybrid or anything electric. The driver behind the wheel is just the cherry on top. The all-new Hyundai Palisade Hybrid. So much more than just another SUV. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. That's 562-314-4603 for more details. How would you answer your what's more likely? Number of strikeouts for Ohtani or catches for Ja'Marr Chase?
I mean, I got to stick with my bit here. I got to go Ohtani strikeouts.
TJ?
Well, he's going to pitch about, what, 4 or 5 innings?
I don't know. He's been going six or seven. Like, I don't know.
He went six for the first time.
How about that? Now let's change up the question.
Okay.
Number of innings for Ohtani compared to Ja'Marr Chase catches. Number of innings pitched for Ohtani. Which is more?
I got to stick with the unicorn. I got to stick with the Shohei.
Dude. Again, just in advance of this, is everybody out there aware of what we're going to see over the weekend? Is everyone, because...
talking about Ohtani?
Yes. Yes, we take it for complete granted.
Well, did anyone watch any of the games against the Reds? His home runs aren't even landed yet. And now he's going to pitch.
I'm just, again, pointing out for everyone that for years we were like, when he's toiling away in Anaheim, what will it look like when we see him in the postseason for the first time? Well, last year he was kind of banged up.
Yeah.
Right? Now we're seeing him the full postseason. Full. Like, he's healthy, coming off of a great regular season like last year. He's healthy. And then at, let me get this right, 6:38 p.m. Eastern time, when the Dodgers and Phillies play one another on Saturday. So maybe, depending on how the Dodgers do, somewhere around 7 o'clock Saturday night, maybe you get yourself to a television set. It's going to be on the Turner family of networks. Because Shohei Ohtani is going to take the mound in a playoff baseball game in which he will have just hit leadoff, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you tune in at 6:38 and you watch him, I guess, bow to the other dugout, get in the batter's box.
Maybe go yard.
And do whatever.
Yeah.
Maybe give himself a lead.
Yeah.
That's possible. Right?
Yeah.
Yep.
That's what's going to happen on Saturday night.
That's what's up.
That's what's up. Correct?
Correct.
We're going to see this in a playoff baseball game. I don't know if anyone is fully comprehending what's happening.
You got to let him know.
Okay. We are doing that, right?
Christopher Sanchez is pitching for Philly.
Yeah, and he's no joke.
He is not a joke.
Right.
Yeah.
Part of the reason why the Phillies have got a week off. Yeah. I can't wait for it. Just amazing stuff.
This is a dream.
Well,
four games Saturday. Let's go.
That man's happy right now today.
Yeah,
bet he is. Talk about that. That was Larry right around the eighth inning last night when Schlittler struck out his 12th Red Sox and strolled off the mound.
What are you going to do? Because the Yankees start at 1.
No, I know. No, they start at 4 o'clock where I'm going to be.
Oh, 4 o'clock.
Yeah,
Eastern,
we're gonna stroll out of the big house.
I
don't know. We're just going to go on campus.
You should be fine.
And we could potentially find a TV and watch the Yankees or just, you know, get back to the hotel in time for watching the end of it and then go to dinner. But we will be celebrating a victory over the Wisconsin Badgers in the big house. That is what Cooper and I will do. Oh, baby. Wisconsin is not the usual Wisconsin. We will be on and all over the Badgers. That's going to be great for homecoming.
Let's see what the eyes and double dip would pay out.
Oh, okay. Put that one in there. Put that one in there. 844-204-RICH number to dial. Whether you're watching us on Disney Plus, the ESPN app everywhere, or ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. We'll take a break. Jeremy Piven is here. I believe he's a Bears fan, and we're a fan of his work. You got the Ari Gold book right there, right?
Oh,
okay, you got that held up. Hold it up there. There it is. The gold standard. Fantastic. But he's here in support of his stand-up act.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.